try to act like I know him. He's like really, really good. You know? Things is the name of the song. Melanie Coffey is my guest today. She is a journalist based in Chicago. She was an editor for the Associated Press, assigning and editing in-depth stories for 14 states. Besides reporting in Chicago, she's also worked as a reporter in the AP's bureaus in St. Louis and Kansas City, covering social issues, education, business, health, and politics. She has led several editing, media, pitching, and diversity workshops and blogs at her website, shesright.net, and right is spelled W-R-I-T-E. Well, she wrote this blog, My On-Again, Off-Again Relationship with White People. Melanie Coffey is my guest today. How you doing, Melanie?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
I got to say, when I first heard about this, I'm like, okay, what are we talking about this for? I mean, really? Okay, just say hey. But then when I read it, I was like, hey, wait a minute. I kind of know where we are. And you wrote a quote in your blog. It's exhausting to feel like the spokesperson for your race. Explain that, because I believe many of our listeners probably can relate and feel the same way.
You know, it's true. A lot of times you are just going about your daily business or hanging out with friends, and then something will come up, whether it's you're going to the swimming pool or what have you, and someone's going to ask, well, why don't you feel like getting your hair wet? And it's because, well, it's because it's going to take a few hours for it to look okay.
Right.
And or sometimes someone will say, well, some of my best friends are black, and then they'll proceed to talk about why they are not racist.
Not racist, right.
Or not discriminatory. And you're just like, well, you shouldn't really qualify it like that, or you shouldn't have to feel the need to qualify it like that. And so sometimes I just get a little tired of trying to explain my people to other people, because I'm just like, why don't you already know? You know, why don't you? I know all about you. I understand you're the majority, but I know all about you. Just take a minute and step outside of yourself to try to learn something about me.
Right. We have 8 months to learn about them, and really 1 month for them to learn about us. How much of this feeling like the spokesperson is real, and how much of it is self-inflicting? Meaning, do white people really actually feel this way, or do we get into situations where we kind of expect them to ask us a lot of racial questions? Like, hey, Melanie, what's up with that OJ situation, huh? Okay, why are you asking me that? Is it because I'm black? I mean, do you think that some of it is that we're kind of trigger happy?
I think some of it is, but I also think the majority of it is indeed true. Just by the way of, as I said in my piece, I live in a predominantly white suburb and have some really honest conversations with some of my white friends, and it's just like, well, I hope I'm not offending you, but I was just wondering, why is it that people think the Tea Party is racist, or why this, or why that?
Wow.
And you know, and I think that shows that, yes, it is. It's not just something that's in my mind. It's something that really it is in existence, you know, this whole spokesperson phenomena.
Speaking about racism, you say when you talk to your Caucasian friends and neighbors, they're surprised that racism still exists. Are you surprised that they're surprised?
Yes, it just floors me. It absolutely floors me. Because I don't understand how they cannot see it. Just because people aren't burning crosses in our lawns anymore does not mean that there aren't people who hate black people and that there's not racism. I think a lot of it, we're so pushed to be PC and say what's right, and but we might not necessarily, or people might not necessarily feel that way. So racism is a lot more subtle. And it's harder to recognize unless you really have open eyes and are just trying to approach the situation objectively.
Your blog, talking to Melanie Coffey, she wrote an article, My On-Again, Off-Again Relationship with White People. I got to go to a break here, Melanie, but when I come back, I want to talk about one of the most ironic parts of the blog. One of the most ironic things, a black woman writing about this, and you are married to a white man. So I want to talk about that when we come back, okay? Keep it where you got it, family. It's the Katie Bow Morning Show. My on-again, off-again relationship with white people. Have you ever felt like you are in situations where white people, and you're black. Now, white people make you the spokesperson for everything that is black. And Melanie wrote, she said, basically, I'm kind of fed up with it. Now, the irony of all of this is that you are married. You're a black woman, but you're married to a white man. Talk about that and how the, all that relates to this.
You know, my husband, yes, he's white, and it's really funny because people are like, well, how can you have an on-again, off-again relationship with when you're married to a white guy? It seems like you're completely on all the time.
Right.
And my contention is he is Norwegian. Like, he was born in Norway, and he grew up there and just moved here. We met in college,
okay.
The great melting pot for many, many people. And he sees things a little differently than white Americans. And he just he approaches race a lot differently than what we do. He doesn't have the history of the white guilt and a lot of things we have going on in our country, and they're just a lot more open over in Scandinavia. And that's what made it the first time I dated outside of my race. I never thought that I really would. It's just this guy, he had a lot of swagger, and I was like, wow,
no.
Okay. And so, you know, we started dating and eventually, you know, married and two kids later. But it's funny because it didn't really have the same ring if I were to say white Americans, my on and off relationship with white Americans.
Yeah.
So it kind of sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I really don't think I am.
No, I understand where you're coming from. But let's just get down to the conclusion. For the black person that's on their way to work right now, should they just angrily accept that their white coworkers and friends are going to expect them to be the spokesperson for the race, or should they embrace the role as an opportunity to educate?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think if it's up to your own, you have to make your own decisions. But I think it's a great opportunity to educate people. You know, I think if they're coming to you from a place of sincerity and really want to know about who we are, go for it. You know, talk with them. But if it's out of a place of mean ignorance, then I don't like that part, and I don't think anybody does. And you can respond accordingly.
So the blog, was it something that you was it just a vent, or what were you trying to say with the article? I mean, I understood what you were saying, but did you want an end result from the article?
You know, it was just one of those. I was approached by Huffington Post to do a piece for Black Voices, and I was like, what could I say? And then I just started thinking. I was talking with a friend of mine, and I was thinking about what annoyed me. And so I think it was just more of a vent. Like, you know what? I'm kind of tired that you guys don't. How do you not know racism exists?
Yeah. Wow. You're right. And I want to thank you for being on and sharing. I appreciate your perspective. If people want to follow your blog, give us your website real quick.
Sure. It's shesright.net. That's SHESWRITE.net. And I'm also on Twitter under Melanie Coffey or She's Right.
Good stuff. All right, Melanie Coffey, thank you for calling. And we will talk to you again next time, okay?
All right, thanks.